Now, there's still widespread coverage of the GAA Go saga in our newspapers and online even today, with people having their say following the weekend, of course. Two key quarterfinals, Kerry against Tyrone, Armagh against Monaghan, behind the paywall. That brings to an end, effectively, the GAA Go issue for this year. For the remaining games in the All-Ireland Hurling and the All-Ireland Football Championships will all be free to air from this point on, and GAA Go will only be kind of used by people who are on the move or the diaspora to watch those particular matches. But a lot of people had a lot to say, and a lot of calls for the GAA to review how GAA Go has worked this season and to review it with regards to seasons to come. With me on our comment line, we've Emer Raku. Emer, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
You're disappointed with how the season went, and particularly issues for people with mobility. Is that right?
Absolutely, Gerry, yeah. I mean, I suppose, you know, at first glance, when I heard about GAA Go and the inception of GAA Go, I suppose, like many other things, you kind of don't take that much notice of it to begin with, in the context of, we'll say, myself, I'm well used to technology, I use it a lot, you know, and I suppose you're so used to subscribing to lots of things now, you know, even though you wouldn't be happy about it or jumping up and down about it, you know, you kind of come to a certain level of accepting that these things happen. But I suppose it wasn't until I kind of got to realise the impact that it has on other people, and say, like, maybe the more senior members of our society, or we'll say those who have mobility issues. You know, it's very apparent that these facilities, the likes of GAA Go, there's a whole invisible barrier, really, for fans who either aren't able in terms of technology, or we'll say in terms of if people have to be moved from place to place. We'll say in my own family situation, I have a family member who they don't have, you know, access to the streaming services. They do have internet in the house, but they don't have access to the streaming services in order to watch GAA Go. So in order for them to watch a game, they're moving from one house to the next house. And, you know, overall, it's not exactly, it's a big palaver leading up to what really should be a case of turning on your TV in the corner and watching it. Because at the end of the day, I suppose, an awful lot of the people that are concerned here, in terms of the more senior members of our society or those who have these mobility issues, etc., are all people who have played a large part in the history of the GAA. In the, you know, they've been the people who have stood at gates, who have stewarded matches, who have sat in committees, who have given of their time voluntarily all over the years. And I suppose now, really and truly, in an age whereby we hear so much about inclusion and about inclusivity, it's actually very sad that the GAA are doing something which really excludes an awful lot of our society. And the worst part of it is they clearly aren't aware of it. You know, they clearly aren't aware of the impact that can have on people. So say, for example, many people who don't have access to the internet or who don't use technology, and I think I heard a number at some stage there, maybe by Age Action or one of those groups, had said that something like 3 in 10 or 4 in 10 of older members of our society don't have access to technology, don't use technology. For those people who were, you know, reared listening to, you know, to watching games, I suppose at one point listening to it was the only option, and then they got used to being able to watch their games. It's terribly sad that that's the way the GAA are going in terms of excluding valuable members of our society from, I suppose, watching these games.
Yeah, and that's where your frustration is. There's that issue of the broadband, is issue of maybe the mobility you're talking about, having to move to another place, which means they rely on other people to do that. It kind of affects their independence to an extent.
Exactly. And it shouldn't be, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be the case that you have to depend on others. And that's good and fine for those that actually have people there to do that for them and people that can help them. But in terms of other people who maybe don't have somebody that can help them to do that, well, then, I mean, really, in terms of people with mobility issues, then it's a very unfair position to put them in.
Is it fair to say that GAA aren't aware of the situation, aren't aware of the effect it's having? I'm sure they're taking a lot of feedback from a lot of the commentary, a lot of the pundits who've been talking about this, a lot of people phoning into shows like this, Emer, to say, like, they will have a look or maybe a review as to how this season's worked. Now, only they know, and this is part of the criticism that has come, only they know how many people actually are watching games on GAA Go versus would watch them on free-to-air. So that'll, I'm sure, inform their thinking as well. But I'd imagine they will be reviewing things as we go past the championship season for next year, or would you hope that they would at least?
Well, Gerry, I think, you know, if you look at the GAA's mission statement is that their purpose is to promote Gaelic games and something to the effect of lifelong participation as a community-based, volunteer-led organisation. Now, they're very important words, community-based, volunteer-led. You know, and I think then it finishes with something like enriching people's lives or enriching lives of the communities. You know, I mean, if they are going to go back and review this, they would be very important words to focus in on. They would be very important, that those sentences would be very important to look at, because at the end of the day, they talk about providing safe and inclusive facilities here, there and everywhere. But I would hope that they would place value on all of those people, as I say, in society, those that don't have access to TVs, those with the mobility issues, those who don't use or have technology in their everyday lives. They are the people that they need to look at, as well as looking at the bottom line in whatever budgets or whatever numbers and figures that they're looking at. They would be, you know, the human effect, the human cost inside the middle of this would be very, very important to veer in on.
Absolutely vital. Well, we'll wait and see what happens with regards to that. But from that point of view, we seem to have been particularly badly affected due to circumstance and draws and the way things have gone as well, Eimear, that Kerry had so many games behind the paywall this year.
Yeah.
Is that why we're feeling it more acutely here, perhaps? Maybe it could have... Next year, there may be less games if they keep the system going the same way.
Maybe so. But again, like that, I mean, if we're going back to that, you know, we'll say for myself and the first point that I made about where I suppose, you know, I kind of accepted a little, you know, faster than you know what I mean, isn't, because that's just, I suppose, like I say, I'm just used to kind of
yes
to different things.
Yeah.
But,
and technology,
you know, I mean,
and streaming.
Again, like, yeah, and again like that, if we had an awareness of how many games, for example, you could make an informed decision. Well, am I going to pay the full cost of the subscription, or, you know, is it only one game we're going to be, you know, have to pay for, or will it be two, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, and kind of weigh it all up. It's this sort of not having a clue. And then,
yeah,
you know,
as it worked out this year with that in mind, if you had bought three games for €24 at the start of the season, you would have got Kerry Mayo, Kerry Cork and Kerry Tyrone. That's €8
exactly
a match. That would have been the most efficient, cost efficient way to do it. But that
it
people stumbled on that by luck rather than by, you know, circumstance.
Yeah, by design, yeah.
Design.
And, you know, again, the thing about it is, I suppose, again, going back to it, like, we'll say if you take hurling, for example, like, I mean, I know we'll say in all of the Dublin where I work, like, we have a lot of tourists coming into the hostel, and, you know, a lot of them, they come off the Kerry Way if they're walking. It's a Sunday, you know, and they sit down, and, you know, they could traditionally have maybe looked at something, you know, like hurling. They're absolutely taken away by it. They're taken away by the skill. They're taken away by, I suppose, by you know, the game, because hurling is such a skillful game and it's a lovely game to watch. But I mean, even in that context, you know, GAA Go is removing that from people, you know, from being able to kind of happen upon a game and watch it and say, well,
yeah,
and also to sort of improve the profile of the likes of hurling, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, all of those things have to be taken into consideration.
And they need to be. Callers aware of a decorated Kerry footballer, now housebound, no internet in his home, was unable to watch the Kerry Tyrone game last Saturday. Terrible state of affairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sad. It's very sad that that is the route that GAA Go has led us into kind of, as I say, excluding very important members of our society.